Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. God's heart for us goes far beyond what words can describe. For this reason, God often paints pictures for us. They help us to see and understand things that we might not otherwise get. As we have been discovering, the book of Ruth is one such picture. It is a picture of God's redemption. There are three main characters in the story: Naomi, who pictures Israel, Ruth, who is a type of the church, and Boaz, who illustrates Jesus. As we pick up our story today, Naomi is giving instructions to Ruth about meeting Boaz. With our study, here now is Pastor John.
It's interesting because, you know, in the Bible, you often see this coupling of young and old. You see Elijah and Elisha. You see Moses and Joshua. You see Samuel and Eli. And it seems that the young have passion and they have vision, but the old have wisdom. Ruth is out there. Man, she's in the field, and now she's going to the threshing floor. But she's being directed by Naomi. Naomi, an older lady, a mother-in-law. So if you're younger, hey, extract wisdom from your mother-in-law or your father-in-law or your parents or teachers or coaches or pastors or mentors or whoever it might be. And if you're older, realize there's a great value in the younger. The passion, you see, and the vision. And seek ways to allow them to be set free, to do the thing that God is putting on their heart, you see. So she says, whatever you say to me, I will do. And she makes her way down there. And she went down unto the floor, the threshing floor, verse 6, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. She went to the threshing floor, and now she's going to have contact with Boaz. She's going to be brought into covenant relationship with Boaz. Where? At the threshing floor. The threshing floor, the place of separation and the place of sacrifice. Remember, it was David who purchased a threshing floor to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And he went to Ornan, who owned the threshing floor. And he said to Ornan, hey, I want to buy this place. It's the place where the Temple Mount is today, where the temple once stood. I want to buy this place here in Jerusalem. I want to buy this spot to build an altar, to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Ornan said, or Eruniah as he's also called, he declared, David, just take this. If you want this, you can have this. And David responded with, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I'm not going to give a cheap sacrifice to the Lord. Thanks, Eruniah, or thanks, Ornan. Thanks a lot, but no. I'm going to, David declared, pay the full price. See, the threshing floor, a place of sacrifice, a place of separation, a place that David paid the full price for, that he might offer himself in a sacrifice for the Lord. A place where the wheat is separated from the chaff, just like Jesus would say to Peter that day, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, you're going to strengthen the brothers. You're going to strengthen many others, Peter. This idea of separation, this idea of sacrifice. Gideon was there at the threshing floor, remember? The Midianites were intimidating and dominating the people of Israel, and Gideon was hiding away at a threshing floor. And the Lord said, "Hey, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." "Who, me?" "You got the right guy?" "Me?" "You're the man. God's going to use you mightily, Gideon," while he's at the threshing floor, the place of separation, sacrifice. Because here's the deal. This is the whole deal. This is where we really know the Lord and can be linked with him and used by him and experience an intimacy with the Lord that we've never known perhaps previously. It's when you're being thrashed. It's when you're being thrown up and cut in two. The threshing floor, when the wheat is separating from the chaff, you see. When you're saying, "Lord, the stuff which is chaffy, blow it away. And the stuff which is good, Lord, separate it and use it, I pray." See, Ruth was in the field previously, gleaning for herself. But now she's at the threshing floor, giving of herself. Previously, she was gleaning handfuls of purpose. Oh, this is grand. But now, in chapter 3 and 4, the story's changed. She's not gleaning for herself. She's now giving of herself. She is now giving her life to this one who has been so good to her. At the threshing floor. At the threshing floor. The place of sacrifice, the place of separation. That's the place where there is going to ultimately be usability worked into a man, to a woman. Satan desires to sift you, Peter, but when you are converted, when you get through this separation of the wheat and chaff, this thrashing that you're about to go through, hey, my Father's going to use you. You're going to strengthen the brothers. Talked to a young man a couple of days ago who's going through a thrashing. Just a neat young man and a neat wife that he's enjoyed, and young kids love the Lord, but there's been a real sad thing happen. And the marriage is going through a real tough time. And it's just real heartbreaking and gut-wrenching to hear the story of how the enemy has caused deception and how the enemy has come in. And this guy's heart is broken. His heart is heavy. Sad, understandably. And I was able to say to him, "Listen, this is your moment. You're on the threshing floor. You're at the place of separation and sacrifice. These times come not very frequently, only a couple of times in a man's life usually, when you will have the opportunity, now that you're being thrashed, now that you're feeling beat up, now that you're going through this heartbreak and heartache, here's your opportunity to not be in the field getting for yourself, but on the floor giving of yourself and say, 'Lord, I'm yours.' Whether or not this marriage works out, whether or not a miracle takes place, whether or not it goes according to my desire or my plan, Lord, that's irrelevant. Right now, as I'm being thrashed and beat up and all the rest, Lord, I now lay myself at your feet and I give myself to you." And I said to this friend of mine, this young man, "This is a grand opportunity. It's always at the threshing floor, the place of separation, place of sacrifice, where there is the opportunity for a whole new level of intimacy with the Lord and ultimately being used by the Lord. Take advantage of this. Put on the garment of praise. Wash your face in the Word of God every day. Pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to be upon your life. This is your moment." And listen, folks, perhaps you're in one of those threshing floor seasons where you feel separation and thrown up in the air and blown away and all the rest. Listen, whenever you come to those times, and they'll happen once or twice or three times, maybe more, but they'll come occasionally in a man or woman's life. Here's what you got to see. This is your time. It's the opportunity to be great. It's the opportunity that comes your way only infrequently to do something for the Lord, not to get from him, but to do something for him, to give yourself to him, to say, Lord, go ahead and do what you want to and be glorified in this and have your way. And Ruth is at that place on this day, the threshing floor. And she goes there, no longer getting from him, but now offering herself to him. She's going to be saying, ultimately, I'm yours. Do what you want with me. And she goes there to the floor. And when Boaz, verse 7, had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. Now, that's not like corn on the cob. It's barley. It's a name for grain. Well, she comes softly, uncovered his feet, laid herself down. Now, there's nothing immoral. This is not rated PG-13 or R. She was going quietly. She uncovers his feet carefully, and she lays herself down at his feet, you see. At his feet. She laid herself down at his feet. I've done the same thing. So have you. John the Baptist would say that day, behold the Lamb of God, when it says there in John's gospel, and John seeing Jesus as he walked. Look at the way he walks. Look at his footprints. That is, look at the way he walks. He's the Lamb of God. And when I see the way Jesus walks, the way he walks through life with integrity and humility, with honesty and compassion, with mercy and truth meeting together, I watch the way he walks. I watch his feet and I say, man, I want to lay my life at his feet too. And I see those feet and I see there's a hole in them where a scar has pierced through them or a nail has pierced through them. And I realize, oh Lord, you walked in a way that's so right, and then one day you went to the cross and laid down your life, gave it up for me, shed your blood that I might be forgiven, cleansed, and free. How could I not now, Lord, lay down my life at those feet? I like the way you lived, Lord. You alone have the words of eternal life. And I'm amazed at the way you died when you took my place on the cross of Calvary. Ruth here, the bride, lays down at Boaz's feet. Well, it came to pass, verse 8, at midnight, the man was afraid, turned himself. He had a dream, or his feet were ticklish, or what have you. And he wakes up, and behold, a woman was there at his feet. Who are you? He said. And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. You're a Goel. Put your garment over me. And she hears these words from him. Not, sorry, lady, you're a Moabite woman. Sorry, lady, you're not my type. Sorry, lady, nah. He says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Oh, I was impressed with you before when I first saw you in the field working away day after day. But now I'm even more impressed with you because you're here to meet me and ask me to cover you, to be the authority over you. And he says, boy, this is amazing. Your kindness to me, inasmuch that you followed not young men, whether poor or rich. Boaz says, I'm an old guy. And it's amazing that you would come to me today, tonight, and say, cover me. I want to be linked to you. I want to be tended by you. I want to just be there for you. Whoa, amazing, he says, that you didn't choose some young buck, some, you know, poor guy, you know, some biker out there, you know, or some rich yuppie who's driving a BMW, whatever it might be. And he's amazed by that. Now, we're saying, who wouldn't go for Boaz? But you see, Boaz doesn't look at it that way. Boaz knows that there was choices that she had and choices that she made. It's amazing. See, the Lord, our Boaz, has everything. All things were made by him and made for him. But there's one thing he desires. He has everything, but what he desires and craves is a bride. See? And that's you. That's me. That's us. He owns and creates everything. But what he desires is intimacy, a bride. And he knows there's choices. He knows that tonight you didn't have to be here. You could have been following after the old or the young or whatever it might be. That you could be doing lots of things on any given night or any given day or week. But you're choosing to follow him. And say, I'm going to sit at your feet, Lord, and hear about you as the word is opened. And talk to you. And sing songs of gratitude. And just be in your presence, Lord. Even though I know I'm being thrashed a bit, even though it's tough sometimes, I'm choosing it. And the Lord would say to you, and he would say to me tonight, blessed are you that you have chosen me. And this is the word of the Lord for me and for you. Blessed are you. You've showed more kindness in these latter days than at the beginning. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that you require. Don't worry, honey. I'm going to do whatever you have need of. All the city knows, verse 11 goes on to say, that you are a virtuous woman, or as one translator puts it, a bride worthy of winning. You are a bride worthy of winning. I like that. All the city knows that you're worthy of winning. See, I'm not just going to tolerate you, Ruthie, or I guess I'm obligated to put up with you because I'm a kinsman, so I guess I got to do this. He's thrilled. There's ecstasy, elation. And honestly, this is the Lord's heart for us. See, we think, oh man, he's stuck with me, you know. You know, we got to talk him into doing this, or I don't even want to ask him about that. The Lord says, no, you don't understand. I'm in love with you. And what you are requiring, what you are in need of, I'm going to do for you. Gladly, happily. So, you're a bride worth winning, he says to this Moabitish woman, this pagan, one that would be ostracized by others. Kept out of the tabernacle, put down by the Jewish people who would look at her and say, she's a Moabitish woman, but hey, the bridegroom declares, I see that you're a bride worth winning. So tarry this night, verse 13, and it shall be in the morning that if he, that is, oh, pardon me, verse 12, a real key, back up. He says, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, but the plot thickens. There is a kinsman nearer than I. Ho, ho, ho. Time out. Problem. Problem, Ruth, problem. I am glad to do what you're asking me to. I want to do what you're in need of. But the problem is, there's somebody else that's a closer kinsman than I. That has first right to you. But he says, tarry this night. Stay here. It shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the Goel. Okay, if he wants to be your Goel, it's got to be that way. But if he will not do the part of a Goel, if he doesn't choose to exercise that option, then I will do the part of the kinsman. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to claim you. I'm going to take care of you, you see. Lie down till morning. So she lay at his feet until the morning, verse 14. And she arose up before one could know another. She was at his feet, and then she rose up before the break of day. Good thing to do, by the way, is to be at the feet of the Lord before you rise up at the break of day and start on your way. You know how ladies always, you know, put makeup on, or guys brush their tooth or what have you? You know, an even more important thing for me, for you, for us really, is to be in the presence of the Lord before they
they see us as we really are. That is, we need to be freshened up in the presence of the Lord. So she was there at his feet. She was there all night. Nothing immoral, nothing improper, but just quietly waiting. And now, having spent time at his feet, she's ready to go her way at the breaking of the day. She rose up. And he said, now don't let it be known that a woman came to the floor. This might be misunderstood by others, so let's not cause an unnecessary problem. Also, he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. That's a big bunch of barley. Give me that veil. She holds the veil before him, and she pours out 6 measures, or he pours out, pardon me, 6 measures of barley. And she goes into the city. When, verse 16, she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who are you, my daughter? Not like, I don't recognize you, but like, oh, who are you becoming? You know, hey, there's a glow on your face. There's a sparkle in your eye. What's up, honey? That's the idea there. And she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, well, now these 6 measures of barley, about 30 gallons, actually, he gave me. For he said, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. In other words, watch this. Think like a rabbi here. He says, now you give these 6 measures of barley, 6 measures to your mother-in-law. She's Jewish. Ruth is not. She'll understand. Ruth doesn't get it. So Ruth goes back with this 30 gallons, 6 measures of barley. He gave me these 6 measures of barley, Ruth says to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi, she knows how to think Jewishly, if you would. And she goes, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not rest until he has finished the thing this day. Hey, he's sending a message to me, the message of the barley. 6 measures of barley. He's not going to rest until he accomplishes his goal, which is to redeem you, to get you, Ruthie. He wants you to be one with him. He wants to be your redeemer. How does Naomi know this? Because, well, he's not going to rest until it's done. 6. Of course, she would know, Naomi would know, 6 days God worked. On the 7th day, he what? Rested. On the 6th day, God created Adam and Eve. See, the idea here is very simple. He's not going to rest. He's creating something, and he's not going to rest until it's finished. That's why there's 6 measures here. There's something being cooked up. There's something being worked out, and he's not going to rest. He's not going to take a Sabbath until he accomplishes the work that he intends to do, until he finishes it. Oh, there's a message in there, isn't there? Until he finishes the work to bring you to his side as his bride.
That's a great message for us, too. God did not rest until the complete work was finished on the cross, until we were completely redeemed. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Please join us on our next program as we finish this wonderful story of redemption. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
We all go through challenging times in our lives, but we are not alone in these times. We have a faithful and loving God who walks with us day by day. To help us explore the faithfulness of God in these difficult times, Pastor John has made a book available called A Future and a Hope. In this book, John shares some of his personal experiences in dealing with tragedies, including the death of his young wife and later the death of his 16-year-old daughter. as John relates his own stories, we see a God who is faithful and compassionate at all times. A future and hope is especially comforting for those who are currently experiencing tragedy or loss in their life. If you would like this book for yourself or someone you know, you can order it from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.